RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
We've been following some of the local politics, been quite a bit of local politics in Tauranga for the last, well, it would be a year or so, actually. Of course, the commissioners have been in place. Who have we talked to so far? Well, earlier it was Glenn Crowther. He's standing for that local body election. Then we talked to John Robson, Tauranga mayoral candidate. That was only a few weeks ago, really. Now we're welcoming Garth Matheson, who is in the run for the Mount Maunganui ward in Tauranga. Well, that's Mount Maunganui, but it's Tauranga in the big picture. Garth, thanks for coming on RCR.
Thank you for having me.
How would you describe the period of time I've kind of been referring to in Tauranga? What's it been like?
The period of time that the commissioners have been in power has been an absolute disaster for the city.
Disaster?
I use the word disaster. Yes, absolute disaster. They have imposed upon us a long-term plan which will result in rates going up 164% in the next 10 years and the city debt being increased from $1 billion to $3 billion in the next 10 years. They have also, in the time that they've been in power, doubled the city debt from approximately $550 million when they came into power in February of 2021 to over $1 billion now. And what have we got to show for this? A whole lot of disastrous projects. If you look at Cameron Road as an example, Cameron Road is being done in two stages, being upgraded in two stages. The first stage was to cost $40 million. That's now $110 million. The second stage was to cost $45 million, and that's projected to cost $220 million. So I can tell you, people know anything about this, have no confidence that the civic centre they are building for $306 million will be built. So there's a whole lot of projects that are being done in one ward, the Te Papa ward, which will cost approximately $1 billion, and the rest of the wards, the other seven geographical wards, are being robbed of money. So, for example, take Totara Street. That is the most important strategic road out in the city, apart from the road that comes, State Highway 2, that comes through around Takiti Maru Drive, over the bridge, down Hewlett's Road, then south to join up with the expressway south of the city. Now, Totara Street runs off Hewlett's Road, and it is outside the busiest, most important port in this country. I drove down Totara Street a couple of weeks ago just to check up on my signs at night. The lights were out where my signs were. They weren't out everywhere, but they were out where my signs were. Subsequent to that, one Sunday morning, I was driving down Totara Street and I come across, and it had been a flash flood. Fortunately, because it is a very busy road normally, fortunately there was not a traffic on the road at that time in the morning, so I was able to drive across the other side of the road and around the flooded waters. You wouldn't have been able to drive through them. Now, in addition to that, there's also a pothole that they never get fixed there as well. And this looks, the council, we're going to spend $291 million along, and the government will put money in as well, to upgrade this road. This is a strategic road. What are they doing? They're wasting all this money on Cameron Road, which is no longer the main road in and out of the city. And they've taken away the $291 million they're going to spend to upgrade Totara Street, which is an essential job to be done. And they're going to do a bit of work here and there for $38 million.
Has Cameron Road got a cycle way on it? Just curious.
Yes. That's okay. Another thing we've got. Become a bit like North Korea. You know, they're wanting us to cycle here, there, and everywhere. They put cycle lanes down main arterial roads. Now, and Cameron Road, while it's not the main road anymore, it's still a main arterial road. And it's been the works on Cameron Road have been a disaster for retailers there and in the inner city of Te Papa. For example, I had one gentleman ring me up who's had a business in Te Papa ward for decades. And he told me it was costing him $500,000 to move, but he had to do it because he's only getting, I think, 13 or 14 customers in the door.
Crikey.
So when you hear Ann Tolley go on TV and praise herself, how what a wonderful job she's done, that's just untrue. It's absolutely untrue. And it's a pity that programs like Mike Hosking's and Q&A don't have the other side of the story. They're actually just reporting her opinion of herself.
Yeah, how could anyone with an interest in the viability, prosperity, quality of life, all those things, and what you will be saddling ratepayers with, those are eye-watering figures that you mentioned before. Why would you do all that?
Let me go back in time. This is important. Now, John Robson and myself have been conducting public meetings to save Tauranga, all right? We've conducted three of them so far. The first one we conducted was in Otamoitai, and I told the lady at the atrium over there to put out 100 seats. We had 200 people there. We had to put out more seats. The second one we had at Bethlehem on the same day as the league, the Warriors were playing, and the Super Final. We had 150 people. I didn't expect anything like that because of those events taking place. And that meeting started at 4:15. Now, the third one at the Mount, we had over 260 people. Now, these are the biggest political meetings in Tauranga. Why is that? Because we are addressing the main issue, which is that the long-term plan has got to be repealed and replaced for the costs I went through before. But if you look at the history of it, it contains an element called the work program. Now, the work program was first put forward by a well-known developer in the city and probably around the country, for that matter. And that was their amenities group back in 2015 to redevelop the inner city, okay? And it wasn't going to cost the ratepayers anything, according to the newspaper article on the 6th of June 2015. How that has changed $1 billion later. Now, what happened is, this included a museum, included the stadium. A stadium was only cost $225 million then. Now it's going to cost $280 million and run at a loss of $15 million. And that's according to its own business case. $15 million loss a year, okay? And they put this into the long-term plan. So this is all part of this works program. The council at the time, which was a democratically elected council, wisely turned that proposal down. Now, of course, as you know, what happened, we had an election. A dysfunctional council was elected, allegedly dysfunctional. But that only raises the question of why it was dysfunctional. Now, you can go through the reports and everything else, but in my opinion, the dysfunction was actually because the majority did not agree with the work program that had been put forward in 2015. It doesn't really matter. Because what happened then, the commissioners got appointed and they took on board this work program. And that's now becomes part of the long-term plan. So we're going to have the stadium, as I said, we're going to have a museum, civic centre, upgrade of a Cameron Road, and then we've got a new swimming pool, which is going to cost $125 million, et cetera, all in one ward. All the other wards are being robbed of money to pay for this. And I gave you an example of Tōtoro Street at the Mount, just as one example. So they're being robbed for this. Now, what happened, of course, is the supporters of the supporters of this work program, they didn't have enough time to get the work program through into the long-term plan when the commissioners were first appointed. So what they did, or what some of them did, was to contact the government along with the commissioners and persuade the government behind the backs of the citizens of this city to cancel the 2022 election.
I've been trying to get to the bottom of why that was cancelled, for what reasoning. Is that it?
To get the work program through. Now, when John and I do these public meetings, which are, you know, popular, because I've got the evidence of this, I went to the Department of General Affairs and asked for the letters, and the Ombudsman actually came out on my side and initially and ruled that I was to have the correspondence, or some of them individuals' names were redacted. But the organisation's names were not redacted, and I put this up on PowerPoint screens, et cetera. So towards the end of 2021, there was a couple of unnamed individuals on the 12th of September 2021 who went ahead and asked, they just wrote emails to the minister asking for the commission's terms to be extended, in other words, to cancel the election. 1st of October, the Property Council of New Zealand, they write a letter to the Minister of Local Government, who's Ngāti Mahuta at the time, and they asked for the election to be cancelled and the term of the commission's extended, and they talk about the different infrastructure programs, etc. In other words, the work program will go ahead.
Yeah, but how could that be agreed to by Ngāti Mahuta?
Well, hang on, come. Initially, I don't think she did. But there's a few more letters. There's then there's one from One Iwi Trust, and there's some individuals, including an ex-mayor of Tauranga. Now, the commissioners then got on board. So they got, you follow the sequence, I think the Iwi Trust was the 17th of, I haven't got it right in front of me just at the moment, but on the 25th of November, that's after the Property Council, the Iwi Trust letter, and also the Urban Task Force letter, plus the two individuals' letters, for the first time, the commissioners asked the Inani Mahuta, the Minister of Local Government, that they need to extend the term through to 2023, October of 2023. And that's the first time they do. Now, that document, it was their exit and their exit plan. That wasn't published until 2022. So then you've got some more individuals, eight in total before the 31st of December. Now, 31st of December is an important date too, because that's when the commissioners again asked the Minister of Local Government that to cancel the 2022 election and give them through to October 2023, because the people of Tauranga might elect the wrong people and that will put at risk the work program. And they use the words the work program.
How do they make that case, might elect the wrong people? I mean, how do you even describe that in any sort of official way? Well, who are the wrong people, for God's sake?
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, that, and I quite make this point. These people have insulted the people of Tauranga, without a doubt. They are saying that we know what's best for you and we are going to take away your right to vote, but you have to pay for these projects that we want. That's exactly what's been said, and that's what I'm saying at these meetings. And I'm putting these letters as evidence of this.
So I'm not there, though I used to live in Tauranga, so I always have a fondness for it. But here's what I'm hearing. There was an effort to keep things alive for that those future works.
Actually, the election, Ngāti Mahuta actually gave more time than the commission had asked for. She came through to right now, July of 24. So the election was cancelled, and these projects have been put into the work program. Now, these projects are all favouring one ward, the Te Papa ward. As I said, they prioritised a road there rather than the most important road that goes through the city, through the centre of the city, and includes the ward. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable that it's happened in New Zealand, but it has.
So, sounds like the people you're having at the meetings, the numbers, means that there's an awareness of this. So,
there is.
All right. So let's say election turns out a particular way. Can all that work program be undone?
Well, that is an unknown because we don't have copies of all the contracts. But I think from speaking to some people in the know, I think the Civic Centre is one that we could undo. Okay, that's a $306 million project. Obviously, we can't undo stage one of the Cameron Road fiasco because that's been more or less completed, and that's cost $110 million, as I said, when it was only budgeted and supposed to cost $40 million.
How does it go up that much,
That's
Garth?
A good question. That's
phenomenal.
That is a good question. And what it says is the gross incompetence of the commissioners. They're obviously responsible for managing this whole episode. And frankly, they don't have the experience and they don't have the background to be project managing the type of projects they are. So basically, well, obviously the contracts are charge-up contracts, otherwise this wouldn't happen. Not only that, they'd take an ordinary amount of time to do. One of the things I want to see if I get elected in the council is, firstly, we change contracts so that they are P95. That means there's a 95% chance. There's a 95% probability that the costs of any project will not go up. They're obviously doing it a lot lower, maybe P50 or P, I don't know what they're doing that, but it's obviously a lot lower. Now, the next thing that needs to be changed in these contracts is penalties put in for things not being done in a timely manner, which is a normal commercial, it's not unusual in commercial contracts. So if a contractor doesn't get a job done in a timely manner, then they get charged a penalty every day. And that needs to be put in the contracts as well. So we want to get hold of these contracts. The opposition, like us, we don't really have a lot of contracts and information. For example, we don't know what the ratepayers' commitment will be to the new council building, which is being built by a developer, and it will be rented back by the council. I mean, that just simply isn't known.
Yeah, okay.
So we don't know, and I'm saying we being the opposition, all the ins and outs of these contracts, but we have to get hold of them. and we have to look to cancel as many of them as can, as cancel many of these projects as possible, and redo the long-term plan with more community involvement, consultation, and a plan that actually reflects the community, what the community wants, and is both sensible and affordable, which the current one, as I've said, is not. It's not. We're already the highest rated city in New Zealand. Yeah. And we pay twice the rates of Christchurch.
Up against time, Garth, how do you think you'll do?
How we'll do? I'm new to the political game. I probably don't have the ground game that some of the other peoples do at the Mount, but I'm not without certain strengths. I've been a lawyer here for 30 I've been in Tauranga as a lawyer for 38 years, and 31 of those on my own account at the Mount.
Right.
I'm a Lieutenant Commander in the Royal New Zealand Navy Volunteer Reserve. I've done two overseas operational deployments and multiple military domestic and international exercises. And I was also the chairman of the Tauranga Millennium Track Trust, which were a group of people who gave up their free time for 6 years to raise $1.7 million and build a world-class athletic track at the Domain. We started with a $1,000 donation. We raised $1.7 million. We were the contracting party with Mondo in Italy, and we completed that. So I do have some, you know, depth within the community itself, but I am new to the political game, to be perfectly honest. So I'll just have to see how I go. Don't really know how it'll come out, but I'm doing my best to win.
Really interesting the way you laid that out. I think that's been really useful in terms of our audience, and we will be hanging out for the result come the 20th. Oh, and I have to say your Maori pronunciation is fantastic.
Well, thank you for that.
Garth Matheson, who's running for the Mount Maunganui Ward and Tauranga local body elections. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.